final passage reads, "On that fated land, a great war shall transpire. Darkness will prevail, and light expire." This world is full of light. It's a world comprised of many smaller worlds, all connected, stretching as far as the eye can see. One great light protects us all. All worlds share one light, one fate.
I take it you're talking about Kingdom Hearts.
Yep.
In ancient times, people believed that light was a gift from an unseen land. The name of Kingdom Hearts. But Kingdom Hearts was safeguarded by its counterpart, the Keyblade. Warriors vied for that precious light, thus beginning the Keyblade War. All of this was decided.
You really think you can change the future?
All of this was decided.
The truth is what you see with your eyes, not what you hear. Sounds like your trip around the world opened your eyes, but you got a little bit more than you anticipated. You must have seen a lot of darkness. So you're saying the weak feel the need to justify their actions to maintain a sense of self. Can't let that slide. I suppose letting false light dictate the future might be a pretty lousy move. So, you can make a change. You have that power. What do you want for the world? You believe the world needs you. Sounds like you already know where you're headed. If you truly possess great power, the darkness can't control you.
All of this was decided.
You really think you can change the future?
All of this was decided.
The truth is what you see with your eyes, not what you hear.
All of this was decided.
Why not just sit back and watch it play out?
All of this was decided.
May your heart be your guiding key. Who are you really? Some kind of fortune teller?
Well, I could lie, tell you that's what I am, when I'm actually a brilliant artist, even a scholar. I could tell you that I dream of world peace,
when I'm actually planning for its destruction. The truth is what you see with your eyes, not what you hear.
All of this was decided.
You really think you can change the future?
All of this was decided.
The truth is what you see with your eyes, not what you hear.
All of this was decided.
Why not just sit back and watch it play out?
All of this was decided.
May your heart be your guiding key. Your guiding key.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Landy Lodge, where today we're talking about one of the Destiny Trio's greats, Riku, and I'm looking forward to having a big discussion about him today, what the future of his character may hold. We'll briefly touch on what his character meant in the Dark Seeker Saga, as we like to do, but I really do want to focus today on the potential of Riku's character moving forward, and we have an amazing guest who will be joining us momentarily. But before we get to that, a couple announcements before moving forward. For one, much love and major shout out to the Sages of the Lodge, the beautiful names you see on your screen who are YouTube channel members or donate directly to the podcast to keep our nonsense going. That's right. It's not just my nonsense. It's your nonsense too. So for those of you who have maybe tuned into the last couple episodes, we are having a few connection issues in my area. I think it may have something to do with the hurricane that just blew through us last week. However, I do have some backup plans just in case our connection gets a little wonky. I am recording it just in case it needs to be uploaded after the fact. But what I have set up is basically if the connection gets a little bit weak, it'll reduce the resolution on the stream as opposed to dropping frames. So if you see that happen, it's more than likely not a consequence of your device, more a consequence of me compensating for when the signal gets a little weak. But all you keep me filled in, make sure it's moving on good and that we're moving at a good pace with a nice smooth stream, whether it's got a wavering resolution or not. It'll have to do what it'll have to do. But anyway, enough of my yapping, and let me introduce today's guest. He's a big friend of the Lodge, longtime friend, longtime supporter. He's back, better than ever. It's our man, Treehouse, dude. What's going on, and welcome to the stream. How's it going, man?
Dude, I can't complain. Everything's great. Thanks for having me on for another discussion, bro.
Dude, of course. I feel like every time you and I get into it, we always farm a little gold out of the soil.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's always something that just has that, like, I guess gold is the term. Yeah. You know, like we're walking by a puddle and there's a little bit of gold.
We're able to find it. A little Nomura puddle just laying there. We're able to just scoop a little gold out. But listen, before we get into Riku, maybe you let everyone know who you are, what you got going on, and you know, your experience with the character Riku.
Yeah, you know, again, what's up? My name's Treehouse. I stream a lot on Twitch. I stream a lot of Smash Bros, a little bit of Kingdom Hearts and Pokemon, and I post a lot of clips on YouTube, a couple tutorials for Smash and Sora on YouTube as well. And Riku, to me, was always, like, the coolest guy ever. Like, I remember in Kingdom Hearts 1, I was like, I remember I was Sora, because even, like, at my age, I was kind of like Sora. I was like, man, that guy's, like, so cool. He's way better than me, blah, blah, blah. And then I just remember being like, oh, he got in some trouble. At least I wouldn't do that, you know, type thing. But, yeah, he's always been such an interesting character to me. And then kind of going on through the series, in my personal opinion, I feel like he's kind of the most mature out of anyone. And it's kind of cool to have that happy-go-lucky character like Sora, but then to see his best friend be this, like, responsible guy who's gone through basically most things as us adults have kind of gone through. And I feel like that's why a lot of people, it's their favorite character, because it's the most realistic or the most close to them. I've been thinking about that. He's relatable. Yeah, he's relatable, more so than other characters, including, you know, mainly Sora. But yeah, I've been wanting to talk about this topic for a little bit too, because I've always been thinking about it.
Yeah, you know, I think there's you know, there's a bit of a notion of, you know, Riku had such a powerful first arc through the Dark Seeker saga, even in Kingdom Hearts 3, which I felt, you know, didn't go as hard as, say, Dream Drop in Kingdom Hearts 2 did for Riku, but gave him a really nice epilogue that showed you that he's transcended the darkness within him to a certain degree. Yeah, and I felt like using Repliku and, you know, as a sort of vehicle for that, I thought was, you know, very well done. But
it's a vehicle, but it's also nice to have, like, a visual representation of those mistakes too. And I thought that was just so like impactful when you actually fight them and talk to them too. Like, I feel like sometimes if we could talk to our mistakes and hear what they would say to us, you know, we can be like, no, you know, that was just a mistake. Don't worry. It's not who I really am, type thing. So I thought that was really cool about Kingdom Hearts 3 and stuff too.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like it's, you know, it clearly was setting him up for the next move. And we see with Remind and the Limit Cut and Melody of Memory in particular that they really are setting him up again for his next move. Whatever that's going to be, you know, we have to wait and see. But, you know, there's sort of this idea of, like, what do we do with this character? Where does he go from here? You know, I do want to touch on what he meant to the Dark Seeker saga, but since we're already sort of here, you know, obviously they sent him into Quadratum to go get Sora. Where do you think all this goes? What do you think is going to be Riku's inner conflict this time around, now that he's, in a sense, made a peace with it in the darkness within him? Where does he go from here?
I mean, there are a couple different things they could do with him. I think something we won't know for a long time, you know, it could be the end of Kingdom Hearts 4. It could be, like, end of another game, whatever, and we'll know eventually, but it might take a while. But to me, it's like, there's a reason they put Riku in that secret ending trailer in the base game just as much as Sora, because if anything, like, I think it's gonna start a new progression for him, if anything. And I feel like you can't really talk about Riku and the future of Kingdom Hearts kind of without talking about Yuzora, too. Because
yeah, they
kind of
go together.
Yeah, they kind of go together. But the thing is, it's like, you know, I've been thinking about, like, oh, the previous game or all the way to the first game where it's like, you know, it's like, man, what if Riku was in, like, Sora's situation? You know, like, what if, you know, he didn't choose darkness and the Keyblade truly chose him, and then it would be him fighting Yuzora at that point? You know, like, I kind of think about, like, what if he didn't
make
those mistakes?
Do you think that's what the whole, like, Verum Rex meaning true king has to do with? You know what I mean?
It could, yeah, it could, but...
Does Yuzora look like Riku because being the chosen one in unreality, you know, he's supposed to be a mirror image of the chosen one from our reality?
And that's that's a great point. That's a great way to put it. Yeah, because, I mean, that's what I would think. It's like, you know, because really Riku was the actual chosen one, but then, you know, it's like, that's not what being, you know, it's not strategic, but like a true hero is, you know, like... Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's something about the look that Yuzora gives Riku. Because, like, even Yuzora seems a bit confused when he fights Sora. He seems a bit confused, like, when he's asking questions to him. But the way he looks at Riku is almost like he knows who he is. He could, you know, there are some theories about, like, you know, Yuzora is made up of, like, two hearts of Riku and Sora. Or there's, like, some connection between all three. We don't know what he looks like or whatever. But I think the... Something that I would like for the future of Riku, especially in Quadratum, is that, like, Riku has a perfect story, right? Like, he made mistakes, he went back, he's a master now. But the thing is, it's like, in reality, in real life, it's not that easy. Like, you're always going to be kind of tempted, you're always going to make mistakes again. And I feel like they could really use Riku's art to kind of pinpoint, like, it's just kind of the beginning of life, or things just keep getting harder in a sense too. So I just know for a fact, like, Yuzora knows. I feel like Yuzora is like, oh, that dude looks like me. Or is like, even though, you know, it's not really what he looks like, I feel like there's some deeper meaning between, like,
well,
Riku
it would make him
Yuzora.
Equally curious, right? He's like, hey,
exactly.
So this isn't what I really look like, but there's a guy who looks just like me. Maybe he can fill me in. Maybe there's something he knows. It would explain why he would have, like, a sort of interest or be, like, kind of stalking him in some way, watching where he's going, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, that's the thing, too. And, you know, I'd like to see Riku kind of, like, I don't want to say temptation, but it's like, you know, I feel like in Quadratum or reality, like, he could have another temptation of darkness, or he could really view Sora falling into that temptation and doing whatever he can to save him from that. And that's where I think is gonna happen, because we all, like, we've all made mistakes, but then it's like we see a friend make the same mistake and they don't listen to us, and then you're trying to get them to go away. I feel like that could be a good parallel between Sora and Riku in Quadratum.
Yeah, because again, there's a sort of a level of experience and maturity, like you were saying, that Riku has that Sora hasn't necessarily achieved. And it's like, who's going to teach Sora how to be a Keyblade Master? It's not like, you know, Yen Sid is able to do it on the other side of reality. Like, obviously, it's funny, right? Because it's almost like a repeat of the Mark of Mastery, only, like, now it's the real deal. It's not that it's a test Yen Sid set up that Xehanort co-opted. It's like, oh, no, this is now the real deal. You know?
Yes, definitely.
And sometimes I have to wonder, like, going on what we were talking about, what to do with Riku from here. I wonder if that whole true king thing, or him being, like, the rightful Keyblade wielder, will come into play. Because I've been playing with the idea, like, you know how Brain said he wants to be the virus in the Master System, or he wants to create a virus for the Master System? Sometimes I wonder if that's what Sora is.
Yeah.
In some ways, because, like, he's sort of this, like, this misfit Keyblade wielder. He wasn't, he was never bequeathed in the way that, say, Riku and Kairi were. You know, he wasn't supposed to manifest one in the first place. It only got, like, passed on to him. And I wonder how much of that is Brain behind the scenes. You know, did they set up Riku for failure to kind of knock the Keyblade off its path to throw off Xehanort, and then sort of, like, as proxy, the Master as well? It's like, sometimes I do think about that, you know what I mean?
Right, for sure. Yeah, that's a good point. Because it's like whatever you think too, I'd say there's no wrong answer except that he's not going anywhere, I think. I mean, he's definitely got some...
Oh, in terms of importance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he ain't... Well, you know, because everyone's saying, like, you know, Riku's... It just gives that vibe of, like, Riku's going to die for Sora or something crazy, blah, blah, blah. And, like, yeah, I feel that, but
okay,
I think...
Okay, do you want to... Can we talk about that? Can we talk about the Riku dying thing? It is something that comes up on this podcast a lot, so I think...
I'm sure it does. I've heard it a lot, too.
You've been here probably for half of it. I feel like you bring it up half the time.
Right.
But let's maybe talk about that a little bit, because it's like, you know, we talk about what is there to do with Riku's character now. Okay, buddy, you conquered darkness. What's next? Why not death itself?
Yeah.
You know, if not death, like, what? Is he going to... Because, again, conquer darkness in the Dark Seeker Saga, right? Like, let's maybe cover quickly, like, what was Riku's role in the Dark Seeker Saga? He was the guy who fell to darkness and not only reintegrated it, he found a road between the two roads, right? There was this binary of light or darkness, and Riku was the guy, not Terra, not Aqua, not Yen Sid, not Xehanort, not Arrakis. Riku was the guy who said, nah, I'm going to walk the road between the two. I'm walking that road to dawn. And I actually feel like that's because he is the chosen one, you know, or the supposed rightful Keyblade wielder. Because he has the ability to reach that road to dawn resolve, that's why the Keyblade was choosing him. That's what... go ahead.
Maybe he is True King, you know, because that would make so much sense.
Yeah, like, I mean, look, Sora's not there yet. I think we all anticipate Sora's eventually going to maybe get there, if not walk like a road of pure light, find some road to dawn like Riku did. Like, we really don't know. But again, like, that was his role in the Dark Seeker Saga, to conquer the darkness, integrate it, and walk that road to dawn. So what is left now? Now that he's conquered light and darkness, you know, what? Shadow? Death? You know, what, is he going to conquer the Unversed? I don't think so. But, like, I feel like death has to maybe be his next step. It just seems like the next logical step. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But then it's like, if that's the next step, I feel like there's not really a step after death. You know? Like, that's kind of the last step you take. Like, you know, Sora, in a sense, has kind of gone over that too, like with the power of waking, you could say, or whatever. But it's like,
all right, hear me out. Wouldn't that make their two journeys like run an interesting parallel to each other? Here's Sora going through what Riku did in the Dark Seeker Saga, and then maybe here's Riku going through what Sora is going through in the Lost Masters arc. So, like, let me explain. Maybe this current trip to Quadratum and Lost Masters arc, Sora's going to learn a lot of the things Riku learned in the Dark Seeker Saga.
That's what I think, too.
Right. Thereby making Riku and Sora being in Quadratum together very functional and, you know, give it a purpose other than him just being there to rescue Sora. Maybe he's there to show Sora the way as well, you know?
Right.
And then inversely, if now Riku is dead and has to come back to life, now he's walking the road that Sora's walking right now, where Sora died at the end of Kingdom Hearts 3, and now he's trying to come back to life himself. So it's almost like they're both experiencing the same adventure, just experiencing different points at different times, you know?
That is an interesting take. Because, like, everyone's saying that, you know, like, Sora's going to get tricked into darkness or whatever. I think, I mean, I'm going crazy here. It makes no sense. But I think there's just, like, I think there's some type of, like, natural powerful darkness related to Sora in a sense too, because you have Vanitas, he's an ancient darkness, right? I don't think it's a coincidence that we had anti-form be mandatory during the last Xehanort fight for Kingdom Hearts 3. I don't think, you know, the fact that we've all kind of, like, it's the big elephant in the room that we have to go through anti-form through some of the Kingdom Hearts games and stuff, it's like, that's not a coincidence at all too. I mean, it's like, I could definitely see both of them going on that road together. And then if anything, that kind of makes them even closer as friends because they both relate to what they're going through, but at different times. Yeah. That's a great thought.
Well, I mean, cause, and this is why I also think it's possible. Cause, like, look, Kingdom Hearts has a way of when you go back to previous entries, the new entries add context and shine a light on it. You know what I mean?
Right.
In the way that, you know, 358 over 2 days built into Kingdom Hearts 2, Birth by Sleep built into both Kingdom Hearts 1 and Kingdom Hearts 2. These games have a way of fleshing out the periphery. So just imagine, where was I going with this? Just imagine, damn it, I lost it. It was about Riku dying and why he would...
Riku dying, it would add to another game. I don't know.
Yeah, look, I mean, we can continue on, I guess.
It'll pop up any second.
Yeah, yeah, if it comes back, it comes back. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Mm. Oh, that was it. Boom, here it is. So,
oh, cool.
Mushu, Kingdom Hearts 3, when he said to Sora, like, you know, he's like, you should admire Hercules' courage. You know, he risked his life to save those people.
Right.
And then Lucius like, yeah, because he's got friends in high places. His dad is Zeus. Of course he's going to risk his life. You know, and he's like, Sora, right, average Joes like you aren't so lucky. You know, he says it in a way like those tricks don't fly for your average Joe. Then he says, right, I don't admire one guy leaping into danger if it means someone else has to leap in after him. You're all just lining up to lose out. To me, that could easily be interpreted as foreshadowing for Riku dying. Like, oh yeah, Sora, you died.
Yes.
And then Riku had to jump in to save you. He saved you. Now Riku's dead. Now Kairi's got to jump in to save Riku. And now Riku survived, but now Kairi's dead. Like, he's like, you're just stuck in this trap.
Right.
You know, you're all just lining up to keep losing out. So that's why I wonder if that too could maybe be foreshadowing. I don't know. What do you think?
That's really good. If you think about it like that, that's the thing that, like, we all love about new Kingdom Hearts games. It's like, oh, cool, there's going to be new content. But, like, you know, at least for me, like, I've always, except for like some Kingdom Hearts games, I've always left with more questions than answers. Sometimes it depends, like, if that satisfies you or not. But I think we'll definitely get a lot more context for Kingdom Hearts 3 when it comes to that. But
yeah.
I keep thinking that, you know, I think Riku's, like, related to, I feel like Riku, there's going to be some big bloodline between Riku and some of the Kingdom Hearts character cast.
Xehanort, you know? Ephemer, that line?
I'm feeling Xehanort. Like, yeah. I feel like it's going to be that way, because I could kind of see it when you're thinking about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Star Wars is going to be in the new Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
Like 80-90%, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, it's like all about light and darkness, but it's also like huge bloodline stories too.
Yeah.
Like all the time. Luke, Darth Vader, sorry, spoiler alert for, like, you know, 50-year-old movie, however old it is. But it's like, you know, it's just stuff like that where I feel like they're going to do this kind of big twist with, like, oh, he's related to Xehanort, or... like Riku was just like used as a vessel for that. I don't know. I try not to think about it too much.
Yeah, it'll keep you up at night.
Yeah, it'll keep you up, but yeah, I think Riku has to be a descendant of Xehanort, because I don't want to say unfortunately, but like Xehanort, I don't think Xehanort's really going anywhere either.
Me neither. I think a young Xehanort might make a comeback. You know, he kind of talked about that 14th life at the end of Dark Road. And, you know, I almost wonder, because, again, Ansem was Xehanort's Heartless. Like, Ansem and Xehanort are connected. You know, Riku having maybe an extended connection to Xehanort, you know, might be something they may be able to play with. But let's go down the road. Let's go down the road of, you know, Riku surviving. You know, maybe Riku doesn't die in Kingdom Hearts 4. He survives. Mm-hmm. What kind of function would that serve? So if we have a Riku who continues to go on, let's say he's not just there. He's there to save Sora, but obviously he's going to get into some kind of trouble, because that's something we haven't talked about yet either, is Lushu wasn't the only one to sort of foreshadow the idea that Riku may be in danger in the end game or in the next game. Remember, Fairy Godmother, right before she lets him go, is like, you run back if you encounter any trouble. And Riku's like, I will. But you know damn well he's not.
You know he's not going to do that.
Especially if Sora's the one in trouble. He's not going to be like, well, that's too much danger for me to handle. I'm going home. Like,
yeah, especially with that level of maturity. Yeah, it's just not going to be he's going to do it. He's going to die for him.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I just want to say much love, major shout out. We've gotten resubs on Twitch from both Lands and Andy Brew. So just want to Give them some love. Give them a shout out. Thanks for joining us, fellas. Glad you're here.
Awesome. Heck yeah.
Glad you're here. But getting back into Riku and the option of him not dying, even though that seems to be a popular take here, obviously there's a very good chance he continues to move on. Tree, why are you resubbing now? What are you doing?
I got you. Treehouse. I gotta show off that fresh Founders badge.
Midstream showing off the Founders badge in 30 months, dude.
That's crazy.
Crazy stuff. But yeah, let's... Riku. Surviving.
Yeah.
So, where do you see that going then, right? Because is it going to be as simple as, okay, Riku's going to go to Quadratum and he's going to save Sora? Or do you think Riku's going to need some help? Where do you come in on that?
Because the thing is, it's like, I'm kind of tired of like, saving Riku. Like, I know Riku saved Sora, or it's like, we're always concerned about Riku. But I think with the whole level like of Quadratum, I want to see like Riku, like, I mean, I don't want to be mean and say I want to see him die, but I want to see him like kind of look at Sora and tell him like, don't make this mistake. Like, I've done it. It's not worth it. Like the anger isn't like what you're feeling isn't worth it. Blah, blah, blah. If he does live, I mean, I don't know if it would be like someone spared his life and Sora, you know, like Sora had to take darkness in order to like save Riku, if Lushu had him or something crazy like that. Because I just want to see, you know, like Riku the master, right? Like a master Keyblade wielder fight Lushu. Because like ever since in Dark Road, even when you just see like the little animation of Lushu with his Keyblade, you just like kind of take him back and you're like,
yeah,
he's unbeatable,
dude.
You know what I mean? Dude. So it's like, I want to see like a real master, like Lushu, kind of, you know, beat the shit out of Riku and maybe give Riku a perspective of being like, oh my gosh, you know, there are other people stronger than me. Like, you know, if we thought Xehanort was bad, this is really fucked. I mean, I think if, you know, they were to make him live or die, there's not going to be a full cut decision just in Kingdom Hearts 4. You know, I feel like it would be a proper like saga thing at the end of the saga to give him, you know, life or death. But I just think it's good that he's like, because, you know, he is kind of done. And that's what we kind of thought with, like, you know, like, I'm not trying to shit on Terra, even though I always do. But like, Terra is actually another example of like, he's been through it all too. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you do with Terra? What do you do with Riku? But obviously there's something that we're missing. Mm-hmm. If it's like, we're not going to get as much focus on Terra and it's going to be on Riku. But yeah, I know that's a big old long answer, but
no,
that's kind of just what I've been thinking lately too.
Little stream of consciousness on it. I'm with you. I'm with you. Yo, shout out to Icy Ninetales. Not only dropped 100 bits on us on Twitch, got the hype train going.
Oh, I love Icy.
Might be the first Twitch hype train mid-Landy Lodge podcast ever. You know, we've gotten plenty of hype trains when we're streaming FF14 and stuff like that, but never mid-podcast. So Andy, Lands, Tree, and Icy Ninetales making it happen. So thank you, guys. It's a cool little milestone. Cool little milestone.
Go
ahead.
What was it? I was going to say I think Max brought something up in your chat kind of about the soul. I think the soul concept is going to be explored in Kingdom Hearts 4. And I think that too, because right at the beginning of the Kingdom Hearts 4 trailer, it talks about the soul, you know. And I'm just letting you know, this is what's been on my mind. Like, I can't stop thinking about it. I could do like a whole podcast on this in the future if you want. But like, having souls and like spirits is a big thing in Star Wars, you know, like having the Force with you. It's like someone passes on and they're still with you, like, for this part, right? So I don't think it's a coincidence they put that in the trailer. Because also, technically, like, you never know, like, Sora being in Quadratum, it could just be like his soul that's lasting on. We had to collect basically his soul in the final world for Kingdom Hearts 3 and stuff, too. So I think all of that is just really pushing to a lot of life and death scenarios. So that's why I think people are pushing that too.
Don't you think Riku. that I hate to bring it back to this, but don't you think a character like Riku dying might be a good way to explore that? Or not even dying, right? Maybe we don't even need to go there. Maybe he's technically alive, but we get to see him explore that concept, right? Because he's already come so far. It's like, what's next? Maybe through him, we get to see him explore those concepts. Maybe those concepts are introduced through something he's going through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I know, like, this will be the last thing I talk about with Star Wars. But even though, you know, I know Nomura loves it too. And there are just, like, so many concepts in Kingdom Hearts, like, even before.
Yeah,
like,
there's a lot of overlapping thematics between Star Wars and Kingdom Hearts. So
there
it's
is,
always
yeah.
welcome, always welcome in this chat.
Well, there's one scene in Star Wars where it's like, if you strike me down, I will be more powerful than you ever imagined. And I kind of feel like that could be something with Riku too. You know, it's like maybe there's some type of connection with his soul and Yozora's that could end up helping Sora, even though we think, you know, Sora's getting completely fucked up by being crystallized.
Well, I want to go back to something you were saying before about the idea, the idea that about Riku getting humbled. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
him getting beaten, whether
right.
it be with, like, Lushu would be a good one to do battle with him, and
perfect,
that would
bro.
Be cool too. Because, you know,
it'd be perfect.
But you know what? And we've discussed this a little bit before. I think it's more likely to be a Union Cross character. Because they come from a world where they're ideologically, like, sort of committed to the light. Where, you know, like in Daybreak Town, it's all light, no darkness. When the slightest little bit of darkness entered Daybreak Town, whole thing fell apart. So if they see a guy like Riku wielding darkness, they're going to be like, take that guy out. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, what does this world become that a Keyblade wielder is using darkness like that? Like, the Foretellers didn't resort to that. You know, when Ased and Envy did battle, none of them were relying on the darkness. You know, so I feel like if there's someone he's going to do battle with in the future, I really think it's a Foreteller, or it could be a Dandelion as well. Dandelions may have the same sort of attitude about darkness. So I could see that as well.
Yeah, that's a really great idea too. I love Riku, but bro, I just kind of want to see him get his ass kicked by Lushu. I just want to see Lushu kick someone's ass, and I feel like it'd be kind of perfect if it was Riku, because it's either Sora or Riku.
If it's Riku, it completely recontextualizes that Kingdom Hearts 3 scene, you know. If I had a Keyblade, it'd be different.
It'd be different. That's like my favorite line.
And then Riku's just like, it'd be wasted on you. And he's
I am worthy.
And then he goes, oh, I am worthy. You know?
Yeah.
Like, no, that would be really cool. Andy's in the chat said Riku versus Brain would be really crazy.
That would be very crazy,
I could see something like
too.
That going hard.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Right. Yeah, I think there's going to be some type of humility associated with Riku, because, like, the thing, you know,
and
it's like,
let's
Riku
just say,
conquered...
let's just say, I just, before we continue talking about humility with Riku, you know, he already is a very humble guy. Like, that's why ultimately he succeeded in Dream Drop Distance, because if you look at the parallel between Sora and Riku at the beginning of that game, Sora's like, there's nothing we can't handle. Riku and I can handle anything, you know? Meanwhile, Riku's like, man, I don't know if I've fully contended with the darkness inside me. Maybe darkness has a stronger... Because he expresses that sort of humble doubt in himself.
That's true.
That's what allows him to not be tricked, not be fooled. But I think it would be cool if maybe something in the Lost Masters arc challenges that. Like, how far does that go? You know?
Yeah.
Was Riku foolish to think he should go to Quadratum alone? Why didn't he call Terra? Why didn't he call Aqua? Why didn't he recruit, like, another Keyblade Master like Aqua, right? Why wasn't this a Keyblade Master's mission? Right, to get Aqua from the Realm of Darkness, we sent Riku and Mickey, two Keyblade Masters, but to get Sora from Quadratum, we're only doing one? You know what I mean? Maybe there is a
That's
little
true
bit,
too.
You know, maybe there is a little recklessness to that, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I just, one thing I would really like to see is, like, Riku kind of still be tempted by darkness, because I feel like I was saying earlier, that is something in reality. It's like, once you it's like, if life were as just easy to conquer darkness like a couple times, that'd be great. But I feel like it's something that's always ongoing too, so it's not so much it's like Riku is like thinking about his mistakes, but I feel like I think whoever we see as the hero or as heroes in Quadratum is going to be tested multiple times too. And I think that's going to be like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, that could equate to like every world for every character. It's going to be a bit different,
also,
in different ways.
Dude, like we haven't even discussed this. This just came to my head right now. Riku would be an amazing character for Yuzora to talk to. Right?
Yeah.
Who else can share that experience of like, oh yeah, like
talk to.
but for real though, when you think about it, it's like, who else can relate Yuzora to Yuzora in the sense of like, yeah, I know what it's like to have my heart replaced with another's. I know what it's like to lose my body to somebody preying on my like insecurities or my weaknesses. You know, everything he dealt with Ansem, you know, the body hopping, body snatching, all of that. Yuzora and Riku might be a perfect matchup in that sense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. And it could, you know, it could be no coincidence that they obviously look alike. You know, maybe they just like share a lot of the pain, or they share a lot of like the abuse that Xehanort's done potentially to them, you know, including Yuzora, obviously. But yeah, that could be that. I hope they talk, because like, as you were saying, like, I would love it if they had a conversation. But man, The way that he was looking at Riku on top of that tower was almost like a hawk ready just to like snag up a chihuahua or something like that. You know, like I don't know, man.
Well, it might be the Keyblade, right? Because this is something I'd like to see revisited too. Like, do you remember in Kingdom Hearts, I think it's Kingdom Hearts 1, you go to Atlantis and King Triton is his name? And he says something about the Keyblade, like, oh, that legendary weapon brings nothing but destruction, brings nothing but pain. He says something along those lines where King Triton obviously has heard of the Keyblade, but to him, it's not something a hero wields. It's like, no, that is a reckless weapon.
That was in KH1.
I believe that is KH1.
Yeah, I think it's
KH1. I'd like to see that revisited, where maybe Yuzora is like looking at Riku because he's like, you're wielding one of those Keyblades. Get that out of here. That's why you have the patch on his shoulder that's like a skull and crossbones, but with two Keyblades. You know, Andy Brew did a whole video about that being like Keyblade Hunters. And maybe something like that does exist, because the Keyblade is this like weapon that just brings darkness, chaos, destruction, conflict. Like everywhere it goes, it just breeds conflict. I would really like to see Quadratum treat Keyblades that way. Like, you know how we saw in the Kingdom Hearts 4 trailer how Sora like jumps into battle to save everybody from the like huge dark side that appeared? Like, imagine after he does it, he turns around thinking he's going to be treated as a hero, but all the people are like, get
you
that
brought
out
that
of our
here.
City. Like, get that. You know, like, I could really see something like that happening.
Well, maybe that's why, you know, like when Yuzora was like fighting Sora, like he could take the Keyblade, which means like, you know, he's
worthy.
He's worthy, but like, why is he not using it? Or it's like, you know, it could be another thing. It's like, you know, I don't know. It's like, I feel like Lucio would know something about that. But yeah, that's literally the first thing I thought of. He's like, oh man, I saved the city. And it's like, you know, everyone's like
no, you didn't.
You brought that darkness here.
Yeah,
it's like we were so good until you got here.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I could like thing. That would be an interesting thing for both Sora and Riku to grip with. It's like, what would it be like if the people around you perceived you as villains? Because you've been lucky. Those two boys been lucky. They've been able to go to Disney Worlds where all these cute, fun characters are like, you're a hero. Big Keyblade Hero 3. You know what I mean? Like, they're almost like embraced. Imagine in like Unreality, it's flipped where everywhere you go, people are hostile towards you. You know, like you go to Wreck-It Ralph and people are like, that Keyblade wielders go turbo. Get out of here. You know what I mean?
Well, it's kind of like, that's why I've been wanting the Incredibles as a Kingdom Hearts world so bad.
It would be
because
so
it's
great,
like, they're,
dude.
Like, they're obviously heroes, but then they, you know, like politics comes into play and they're all labeled as like villains and they all go in hiding and then like they end up, you know, saving the world and stuff like that. It could be a very similar thing like that. But yeah, that's a great point. I feel like they could really do anything with the concept. Like for the Keyblade, it's like, oh, but I've had this forever. It's protected me. And it's like, no, you haven't really seen the damage that it's done. Like, yeah, you've been saving people, but do you know how many hearts you've really like destroyed and stuff like that too? But I don't know. That's an interesting That's a really interesting concept.
Brought up. And it could be funny too, right? Because I think that would also challenge both Sora and Riku's sort of resolves. Because like now imagine like Riku and Sora got to go fight for people who don't appreciate them. Or Riku and Sora. And I think this is where Riku and Sora are both going to come in. Maybe Kairi too. But it's like, I think a big part of the Dark Seeker saga was like, hey, nobodies have hearts. Hey, replicas have hearts. You know, there are hearts all around us. A heart can live in data.
Yeah.
So imagine Sora, Riku, Kairi are like, yeah. And a heart can live in darkness too. And now like they kind of exist on the side of like, no, we have to save the ancient darknesses. Whereas Master of Masters is like, no, we need to get rid of them. We need to exile them.
Yeah.
You know, it kind
of that's kind of what we were talking about with Vanitas and stuff. It's like, you know, Sora gives life to hearts to everyone, everything. But have you ever seen like, I'm sorry I keep talking about Yuzora, but I feel like there's just so much to go like with Riku in the future and Yuzora.
I mean, look, they deliberately would say like in the toy box where they're like, oh, he looks like Riku. You know, like there's obviously something going on there.
Well, didn't Sora say like, well, it actually looks more like Riku when they were like, oh, it looks like you or something like that, right? Or there were some like, you know, those Instagram loading posts or whatever. Yeah. There was one, I think, where Sora was like, talking about how Yuzora looks in one of those comments. I wish I could find it. I don't know what it was. But if you ever look at Yuzora, like the 3D model people put on Reddit and stuff, I think he has a nobody earring. Yeah. Have you seen that?
He's got something like that going on, like a nobody. I don't know how much of that, because like there's a lot of that going on. Like the Master of Masters zipper, I think, is like an Unverse thing. You know, I think there's something going on there, you know, so I'm not sure if that's just aesthetics or if that's actually like indicating something, because I'm not sure if he's a nobody. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think they really do. As you know, that's the most badass nobody ever. But there's no way. I feel like they wouldn't really do him like that.
All right, I'm going to open it up to the chat a little bit early. We'll go harder at the 1 hour mark, but I'm going to open up a little early because I wanted to I want to take this idea on a little bit. Like Andy threw in the chat that Yuzora stole Riku's body. I'm telling you, this isn't what I really look like. But here's why I have a problem with that. And Andy, maybe you could fire back at me. Tree, maybe you can. Chat, maybe you can. If Yuzora stole Riku's body, why in the secret movie is like Yuzora looking down on Riku in that way? Like they both have their own bodies already. You know what I mean? I don't know if anyone might ever reply to that.
I mean, I have heard people say it's like maybe it's Riku from the future trying to teach Sora or his nobody somehow escaped and it's living on their own in this world or something. There is a little like, I've always heard it's like, oh, it's just Riku from the Sora. Or sorry, it's Riku from the future. But I just like, I'm not going to lie, I just don't want any more like time travel shit, even though I know we're going to get it. Like, I just want something like, kind of original.
Well, I wouldn't say that's for certain, only because time travel was so connected to Xehanort. The only three people to have time traveled like that way, like you have the Union Cross and the pods, right? But then you have Xehanort, Sora, Maleficent, right? Who have kind of time traveled in their own ways. Andy says, I have no reply. I have a reply for you. Riku mentioned that particular vision was a dream. Like in Melody and Memory, Fairy Godmother's like, Riku, tell me about your dreams. They hold the key. And Riku's like, oh, I have this dream that I'm in a big city with tall buildings and it feels like somebody's watching me. So maybe he's dreaming of the guy who stole his body watching him. Like, it's not like a legitimate scene. It's a dream in Riku's head. So maybe that's how that works, Andy. You know, maybe something like that. DJ Ghoul says, yeah, I was going to say the dream thing, too.
Right.
Maybe. Let's see. Let's open it up to the chat. What do you say?
All right. I've seen like 4 comments saying versus 13.
Well,
you never know, but.
Well, I was going to say versus 13, a major thematic point in versus 13 was going to be death. You know what I mean? Kind of buying into this idea, right? So, never know. It could be that. Someone says Yuzora could be Riku's reincarnation. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think Yozora is his own man. You know, I don't think he's a nobody or he's like Riku's. Like, I don't see that. If anything, like, I don't know. I just see Yozora as his own character. I don't think he's a consequence of Sora or Riku. I don't see that.
Mm-hmm. Since it's a dream, I'm not sure how much we're supposed to think about it. Yeah, I see that. Like, the logic in my head is saying yes, but then it's like they wouldn't just mention that for nothing, too. Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's hard.
What do you make of the idea? Because, like, all right, so let's really, here comes. We're going to put the little tinfoil hat on. Let's really, heck really yeah. Go down that road. So they showed the 104 building in that secret movie. Do you think we might get, I don't know how familiar you are with The World Ends With You, but do you think we might get a Reapers game where Riku and Yozora are partners in the Reapers game or something like it?
Dude, normally I would say no, but like since they actually showed it in Dream Drop Distance, I feel like it's gotta be. Like someone's gotta be playing that game, you know?
Dude, it's in the Yozora fight too. You fight on top of the 104 building. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. I think it's going to be, even though, like, yeah, it's Quadratum. It's not, like, the same. It's not Shibuya or whatever. I think the World Ends With You, I think those characters are for sure coming back. I know people are saying, like, oh, you know, like, the sales weren't that good, but it's one of the best games ever, blah, blah, blah. Like, they've already been in it. I feel like they have to come back.
Yeah.
In some type of way. Yeah. In some way, I think so.
And again, World Ends With You, another game where a major thematic point is death. You know, and again, with the four. That's right. Why, I mean, I know I keep coming back to the idea that Riku might die and all this, but it's like Kingdom Hearts 4, the symbol for 4 in Japan is very similar to the symbol of death. You have nods to The World Ends With You. You have nods to Versus 13. All of this has to do with death. So I know we might be a little repetitive with that, but it's like, you can't help but point it out. You know what I mean? When you see it, you can't unsee it. I want to read something to get us away from that a little bit. Something Wildcat Diana just threw into the chat. Landy and Tree, have you guys seen the scene where Noctis and Stella from Versus 13 talk about their powers and how it's connected to the deity of death? Stella mentions opening a door for souls to pass through. Maybe that's Kingdom Hearts. Maybe that's why Yozora is saving Sora.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting.
Well, again, if I'm not mistaken, Versus 13 and Kingdom Hearts were supposed to be connected more canonically than, say, FF7, FF10, all of that. Like, it was supposed to be an actual crossover between the two. Nomura even said he created Noctis to be a mirror image of Sora. You know, like, Noctis was created with Sora in mind. One is Sky, one is Night Sky. I can't help but think they were going to do it. You know, so that's worth considering too.
I didn't know they were actually going to be like connected in game and stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's crazy.
Do not quote me on it. It's something I believe I remember reading about in an Amore interview. So don't take that for fact, but it's worth looking into because I do believe that was his plan after all that time.
Wow. That's interesting. I mean, that would make sense to me. But the thing about, like, I don't know, if everyone's like, oh, yeah, he, like, looks like, you know, Versus 13, blah, 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 Noctis. But it's like, dude, the theme they played at the end. Like, you can't call a musical theme, like, just, it's just, you know, coincidence, you know. Like, there ain't no way that was an accident. That's interesting. Thanks. I did not know that.
Yeah, dude. Maybe it's
the trials are linked to the Reapers game. I mean, that would be a great concept for Riku and Yozora to be in the Reapers game or go through it.
The nobody says something I want to bring up. The nameless star tells Sora someone's heart was replaced with another. If the star is the girl Yozora is trying to get, then what if Yozora is the one she's talking about? I do believe Yozora is the one she's talking about. But, you know, going on that, when he says, like, this isn't what I really look like, that means it's his heart and soul in someone else's body, which is interesting to think about, too. Because it's like, right. Then what does the real Yzora even look like? It makes me wonder, like, is it just Noctis? Like, is he just trying to get back into the Noctis body?
Mm-hmm.
Which gets me crazy to think about.
Yeah, it's kind of freaky to think about, because it's like, is it going to be like, you know, versus 13 Noctis, or is it going to be like regular Noctis, like actual Final Fantasy Noctis? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just kind of like, I don't know what they would do. I whatever, like, they're going to do, though, like, I do have hope. You know, I feel like this saga is like a lot more set up than the first. But yeah, if that were the case, that'd be interesting. Hence why Sora originally said Yzora. Wait, what was that? I didn't see that.
The real Yzora probably looks like Sora. Hence why Sora originally said Yzora was him. Hence why Sora originally said Yzora was him. Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting to think about. Because I've thought about that too, here and there. Like, I thought about, like, why don't they say Sora's name in the Kingdom Hearts 4 trailer? What if what Yzora really looks like is he's just like the Quadratum Sora? You know what I mean?
Wow.
Is that what you're getting at, the nobody? Is that what you're getting at? Because that's where that takes me.
We're Yzora. No, I'm just kidding. That's interesting.
All right, Wildcat Diana, speaking my language here, goes, and going back to Riku, in Norse myth, when Baldur dies, bear in mind the empath that went wrong in Dark World is named Baldur, and it's a cautionary tale for other empaths like Sora, dies, and his brother, Riku, asks the world to cry to bring him back. Maybe Sora is the one that dies, and Riku fails at protection. What matters? I kind of lost you at the end there. I was following you, and then I lost you. Maybe Sora is the one that dies, and Riku fails at protection, at protecting what matters. That's a great place for his character to go. The strength to protect what matters. What if Riku fails at saving Sora?
Right.
Huh.
And then Yzora says, you know, I will save Sora. I don't know. That's interesting.
He might solicit Yzora to do it for him. Like, hey, I'm unable to do it.
Right. Can you do it?
Huh.
Oh, that's interesting. That's kind of crazy. That makes sense. Yeah. Because he says, I was told to save Sora.
Yeah, after completing some trials. So what if the trials was Riku and Yzora in the Reapers game? They complete
and Riku dies?
And Riku dies.
And Yzora lives?
And he's like, okay, just save Sora. That's what I'm telling you to do. Save Sora. So what if... Okay, there we go. A little something to flesh that out.
Wow, we finally put it together. A good hour, we finally meshed all of our thoughts.
Finally
and put them...
One thing.
It was worth it. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, again, what if... Riku and Yzora are partners in the Reapers game, hence all the alluding to the 104 building, hence all this foreshadowing and thematic implications of death. Riku and Yzora get to the end of the Reapers game, Riku dies, says save Sora, and then Yzora initiates what's going on now. That could be cool.
That would be really cool. Dang. Okay, so... If I may ask, so I don't know anything about Thoroldens with you. I bought it. I have it on my Switch. I just haven't played it. Mm-hmm. Is there anything about like souls and like looking like someone you don't?
Yes.
Or anything like that?
Yes.
There is.
For those, yes, I'm not going to say who because I don't want to spoil it.
No,
for
you're
you,
fine. You're fine.
But the chat knows exactly who to think of when we think of someone who has an appearance that isn't their actual appearance. It's right there in The World Ends With You as well.
Dude, I think we have something. There's something that would be that I would love that.
Yeah.
Man.
Let's see what the chat's cooking.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, Jay So Silly knows what we're talking about. Jay So Silly knows what we're talking about. Kevin Ribeiro says, "What if when Yzora says I'll save you, he means putting you in the crystal to make sure he can't be touched by true darkness?" You know, I've considered that, but I've also considered the inverse just to go on Yzora for a minute. What if the whole save Sora is Yzora taking orders from the master? Because the master's like, Save him because I can put an ancient darkness in him. So I want you to save him for later. You know, because I could see, can't you see Yzora making a Faustian deal with the master where the master's like, oh, I'll get you Stella back. I'll get you the nameless star back. Here's what you need to do for me. Crystallize this guy. Save him for me because I'm going to need him.
Yeah. Man. But if you think about it, dude, think about like a, because, you know, Umbra brought up a really good point. It's like, Nomura said he was worried about people like wondering where Sora was, so they started development on Kingdom Hearts 4 instead of like a Verum Rex game or something like that. Think how cool it would be to, like, you know, you have a game where you play as Riku or Yzora and you're in the Reapers game, or it's some type of big collaboration like that, right? You know, so that's really interesting.
Yeah, I could see that. I think with the Verum Rex game, I've got a feeling Verum Rex might be a prequel to, like, Yzora's introduction. Yes.
That's what I think, too, for sure. Mm-hmm. Wow, man. He did say this. He was told to save Sora right after the trials. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
It's like, what are those trials? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And look, somebody's saying, like, where is it? If this is the Reapers game, doesn't the winner of the Reapers game get to get whatever they desire or something? Yeah, in a sense. So, like, imagine Riku's just like, oh, if I win the Reapers game, I can save Sora. If I win the Reapers game, I can use that to send Sora back. And then that can play into what we were talking about earlier, where Lushu's like, I don't admire one guy diving in if somebody else has to dive in after him. So, like, yeah, Riku dove in, save Sora. Now you got to go save Riku. Congrats, you've solved nothing. You know what I mean?
Someone said writing the plot for Nomura.
I know Nomura's got those burner accounts out there, man.
Yeah.
I know Nomura's got those burner. Are you listening, Papa? Are you listening?
There, he's on his bed, like, writing it down, listening with the audio.
Bunch of sickos. Man. How's the stream been holding up? We've been doing okay? Let me know if it's been smooth. I need to know if I need to sub this out for an upload, or I can leave it up. Just let me know. I'm depending on you, chat. So where else can we take this with Riku? So, like, I like how this has become like a Riku and by proxy Yzora. Like, we've tied Riku's future to Yzora, which I don't think is a crazy leap. I don't think that's a crazy stretch. You know what I mean?
I don't think it is either, yeah. Let me ask you something. Where would it's a big question. But what would you like to see happen to Riku? And whatever that thing is, when would you want that to happen? I know it's a lot of like what if questions, but it's like not like what you think, but what would you want?
I want Riku to get in so much danger that it creates a sense of urgency among the Guardians. That's what I want. I want somehow Riku to transmit that he's in so much danger that, like, Kairi feels guilty for not being ready in time. Because then that could really build into Kairi's character if it's like, oh my God, I'm not getting strong enough, fast enough, because I wasn't ready. Now Riku's in danger. If he just had someone by his side, maybe this wouldn't have happened. I would like to see Riku get into some kind of danger that just creates a sense of urgency among the Guardians. So then I'm like, Riku's got it. Let's all have our tarte fruit. You know, Riku's just fine out there. You know?
Right.
That's what I would like to see. I want him to grow, and he can't grow without suffering. So I want Riku to suffer. And because I want him to suffer, it means I want him to grow.
It's pretty dark, isn't it? It's like, do you want him to die or do you want him to suffer?
No, he can take it. He can take it.
Right. The only person I want to die is Terra. So, you know, fingers crossed. But
so what's going on there, man? What's with you and your Terra hate? Can you explain to my audience this meme of you hating Terra? Because I want to do the one about Terra. You know how I've been doing that? And I want to invite you on, but I'm afraid we're just going to derail into Terra nonsense. Could we just do a little sidebar? Why the Terra hate? Why the Terra hate?
Oh, man. Yeah, I think that'd be good for another another podcast.
Another
for sure.
we'll leave Tara out of this one.
It's got to be like a 3-hour long podcast because I got the whole SpongeBob list going down.
Maybe
my room.
You know what we could do? We could do who is the worst Kingdom Hearts character? Do a whole stream of a debate. Who is the worst character? We'll try to recruit people who all have different opinions. Then we'll get four people who have four different opinions on who it is.
Andy said, I'm free.
I think that could be a fun one.
That would be amazing. Oh my gosh. Andy said, I got that date in my calendar already. Doesn't have a defense. Oh, that's so good.
Let me make sure I say this right. Yusa Gioni 91 says, I don't know if this has been talked about yet, but I wonder if we'll see Riku's Dream Eater powers play a strong part in KH4. I think the dreams he's been having are because of his link to Sora. Yeah, you know, there's this there's this implication with the Kingdom Hearts 3 outfits, both KH3 and Dream Drop, that Riku is like a Dream Eater to Sora, and Kairi's like a Chirithi. That's why her hood has like the Chirithi ears. I'd be interested to see if Riku does get to employ some Dream Eater powers. Like, what if Sora, like, I don't know. Like, what if it all happens all over again, and that while Sora sleeps, Riku has to protect him? You know, what if Riku doesn't actually go to a Quadratum? What if he goes to a Dream Quadratum or like a Sleeping Realm Quadratum? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking about before the podcast how it'd be, you know, Kingdom Hearts 4 would be another just Dream Drop Distance game all over again, which would be cool. I love Dream Drop Distance, but it's like, I don't know. But the Reapers game is like sticking in my head, man. Like
the Reapers game stuff,
some trials. Yeah, yeah, that's really sticking.
Yeah, I like what Umbra's saying. Kairi having Chirithi ears is gonna further connect her to the Age of Fairy Tales and Ava. I like that, because Chirithis were created in that time, so it might be a wink and a nod. And like the sort of pink hood, the her new outfit's aesthetic does match Ava's a little bit. Wildcat Diana says, you know who Riku could have a role in saving? The dandelions that turned into Dream Eaters at the end of Union Cross. What if he frees them? Yeah, what if Riku becomes like the king of the Dream Eaters?
Oh shit.
He becomes like a king of the sleeping realm, or the king of the sleep. Like, ooh. Maybe he doesn't conquer death. Wow. Maybe he conquers sleep.
Right.
Dude, and maybe that's how we can save Strelitzia.
Oh shit.
Interesting.
Wow.
Hey,
I love
Gutsy, thank you for the follow. Appreciate that.
Dude, I love Riku's line where he's like, I'm what nightmares fear most. I'm like, get him. You know, like that makes sense if he's,
take that further.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, yo, bro, imagine Yozora crystallizes Riku, but then when you're crystallized, you go into like this sleeping realm and you have this like internal battle of sorts. Can you imagine something like that happens with Riku?
Right. Who's better? Who's done that the most than any other character? It's like Riku. He's had the most internal battles, you know? Wow. The king of sleeping worlds.
King of the sleeping realm. Conquered the realm of darkness. Now he's going to conquer the fucking sleeping realm. That's what I say.
So do you think, like, I'm still a little bit confused, but do you think Riku's, like, that dream that he was in, do you think that was, like, do you think that was Shibuya, or do you think that was Quadratum, or how do you think they're going to, like, how can Yuzora
in Riku,
go
like
back
Riku's
and forth,
dream?
You know what I mean?
You're talking about Riku's dream?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, with that, that's an interesting one. It's like, I definitely think that's a dream. Obviously, he mentions that it is in Melody and Memory.
Right.
But here's the thing about Yuzora, and this is what makes this whole, like, realm of the sleeping sort of an interesting idea. Because, like, with Yuzora, where does he contact Sora? In a dream.
Yeah.
Like, the limit cut fight where Yuzora fights Sora, that's in Yuzora's dream. The whole thing of Yuzora looking at Riku, that's in Riku's dream. So it's almost like Yuzora himself has a way of interfacing with the dream realm. So I wonder if maybe that's what we're going to get into, where it's like Sora is in base Quadratum, but Riku is sort of exploring this sleeping Quadratum. I could see something like that, but it may not even be that. Riku very well may get to base Quadratum as is, you know?
Right, definitely.
Hey, yo, okay. Sonny Novus has entered the chat.
Says, oh, what's up, Sonny?
Which everybody needs to be following Sonny Novus. Look him up on YouTube right now, Sonny Novus. The man is cooking. We don't know what he's cooking, but we know there's plenty of spices. Anyway, Sonny says...
That's why he's the go!
That's why, he's the go! Sonny Novus says, if Riku was the intended Kingdom Key wielder, perhaps he was the written real child of destiny in the prophecy, which is why Yozora in his current form looks like him instead of Sora. Sonny...
That's what, yeah.
We were on that earlier.
We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, that's kind of what we came out of the gate with. So you're on the right wavelength. You're right there with us, Sonny. You pretty much just summarized the first 30 minutes of the podcast. So there you go, everybody. You don't need to go back and watch it if you're just joining us now. Sonny Novus has summarized the first 30 minutes of the podcast. Thank goodness. Yo, thanks for dropping that link, Umbra. That's the link to Sonny's channel.
Or what if, like, what if... Like Yozora, when Riku's talking to Yozora, Yozora looks like is a different person to Riku. But then, like, what if whoever Yozora is saves Riku by, like, using his body as a vessel or something? I know that sounds dumb, but it's like when you just look at the similarities between them, it's just...
It's staggering. It's definitely
staggering. It's an insult, honestly. But...
But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's like
that took us. Yeah, Sonny, that took us 30 minutes to get. Yeah. But it's a great point. Yeah.
He's saving people time. You know, now people don't need to go back and hear a circle that drain for 30 minutes until finally, like, oh, we got it. Anyway. But you know, it does. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, like Andy's saying, kind of like Shion to people, because that's something we've seen too, where Shion looks different to everybody else, which, God freaking, we still don't know why Lushu sees Shion as Ventus. I really hope we get that explained. You know, we theorized on that a bunch, so we don't need to get into it. But anyway, it would be interesting to see if Yozora looks different to different people, because maybe to Rex,
just gonna bring that
Yozora
up. Yeah.
Just looked like Quadratum Sora, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But to our crew, he looks like Riku.
Right, definitely. Yeah, that is, because wasn't there like a cut scene with the characters from Toy Story talking about Yozora's like partners and stuff like that too. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Magia, Aegis and Magia.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Let's see. In KH3, Sora teleports to block Anti-Aqua's attack on Riku, just like a Link Block and Dream Drop. Okay, it's a funny little thing.
Why are you using Sora's name?
All right, Gutsy's getting to it. Why are you using Sora's name? Makes me think Yozora sees someone different too. Yeah, it makes me wonder. What if they're seeing each other? Like, if there's this what if it's like an inverted mirror where Sora's looking at Yozora and sees the Riku type figure, but when Yozora looks at Sora, he also sees the Riku type figure. You know what I mean? What if to both of them, they think they're in that quote-unquote Sora body, but to the other, they always look like they're in the Riku body. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Interesting.
I wonder if there's going to be a point where Sora and Riku cross paths in Quadratum or wherever, and they don't even recognize each other, too. Like, it's going to be one of those situations.
Huh.
You know what I mean? Huh. Like, what if it's like, don't hurt me. You know, like, I promise I'm not a darkness.
Yeah.
something happened to me, you know, like, my soul turned into this, whatever. You know, that would be kind of interesting.
Well, this might get us really off topic, but in one of the last streams, we talked about how on the cage, you know, like, every Kingdom Hearts box art has foreshadowed the next numbered title.
Right.
You know, like KH2 final mix, you saw the final world, you know, Kingdom Hearts 1, you see the world that never was. Like, there's, you see those sort of Illusion. Exactly. And in Kingdom Hearts 3, what's the cover art? It's Quadratum. You know, right. you get that look. So on the cover art, there's a Darkling, right? He's just hanging among the Guardians. What if that's part of the foreshadowing? What if spending too much time in Quadratum turns you into a Darkling or something? Or Riku right. turns into that Darkling and he ends up like trying to guard Sora or guide Sora as the Darkling. Sora has no idea it's him. You know, maybe something like that works out.
Bro, what if Lushu's in there somewhere in that cover?
Yeah. Wildcat Diana says Darkling. Okay, let me get the box art and then I'll hold it up.
I know what you're talking about. All right, let's see.
Get these headphones back on. Landy, what do you think about the Quadratum Dark Side and Riku's Heartless theory? Oh, interesting. Yo, actually, DJ Ghoul, feel free to tell us about that a little more. So you see this guy? Right here. This guy is a Darkling. Talked about a little on last stream. And remember, every cover art foreshadows the next game. We didn't really see this guy in Kingdom Hearts 3, not to my knowledge. I'm wondering if this is going to be something with Kingdom Hearts 4. Forgive me, my nail's a little dirty. But anyway.
Dude, it looks like he's holding a Paopu fruit or something.
Or
crazy.
One of the lucky charms.
Yeah.
Oh god, what if that's what Sora or Kairi turn into? Wouldn't that break your heart?
If they were holding the Paopu fruit and that's one of them.
Or bro. Yeah, Paopu fruit, or again, like the lucky charm. Something like that. Because again, I don't know. Like there wasn't a Darkling in Kingdom Hearts 3. You know? Crazy
That's
stuff.
Crazy. Yeah.
Rez says, do you think past characters who have died in Dark Road could possibly be in Quadratum? Yeah, no, I think it's very possible any character we've seen die or cross over to the other side very well could be in Quadratum. Because again, what's always perplexed me again when this comes up is that Sora and Strelitzia are both in Quadratum, but they both got there by very different means. You know what I mean?
Right. Definitely.
Qlim says, no, it's probably a reference to Unchained Key. Remember the fight against the Tide at the end of the game. Yeah, if you were going to plug it in somehow, I could see it like that. But just for the Darkling itself not to have any significance and be on the cover.
The cover.
It's yeah, it's just a little peculiar to me.
Right by Sora in the front.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not like something. It's not like, you know, Tetsu Nomura's cat. Right there, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like...
it's right there.
Right.
In Union Cross, the Darklings were attracted to Ventus, a pure light. So maybe he could be linked with Vanita somehow, because we all know he's coming back. Yeah, I think when it came up on one of the previous streams, someone thought that was Vanitas. That could be what Vanitas's form is now or something. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Riku's darkness is the dark side in the KH4 trailer? I don't think so, because Riku's got his darkness under control. So I don't think it would be taking such a chaotic form in that way. I think the Darkling is Vanitas because it's literally in between Ventus and Sora. Yeah, you're right about that. Definitely right about that.
Wow. Interesting. It's kind of crazy. Like, it kind of looks like Riku's looking right at Sora.
What, on the cover? Yeah. Well, Sora and Kairi are kind of looking into the distance.
Yeah. It's like a big protection type thing. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, shit, I got to keep my eye on him. I know what's about to happen. type thing.
All right. DJ Ghoul says... And this is him building off the what do you think of the Quadratum Dark Side in what do you think of about the Quadratum Dark Side in Riku's Heartless Theory? He says, we see Master of Masters and another hooded figure looking over the fight between Sora and the Dark Side after Sora wakes up. Could be that he's testing them or playing games with them once Riku showed up. The strength of one's Heartless also correlates to the strength of one's darkness, I believe. And who do we know has such immense darkness to result in such a big Heartless? Yeah, again, I could see that maybe being Riku, but to me, I feel like Riku has such control over his darkness that it wouldn't manifest in that way, Whereas Tree, kind of what you were bringing up earlier in the podcast, there's a chance that there's an inner darkness in Sora that hasn't been brought under control in the way Riku's has.
Right.
Yeah, see, I'm with Umbra here, who says, I think the dark side in Kingdom Hearts 4 is Sora's darkness to parallel his digital hardness that was in Recoded. Yeah.
Well, dude, think about, maybe that's why we've had these like random outbursts of like anti-form in the past of Kingdom Hearts games. Maybe it's just that darkness that's just out of control. It's like we, even the player, can't even control it when it pops out.
I don't know. Gutsy says, I thought it was more immunity to darkness than a capacity for darkness for Riku. Yeah, that's how I interpret it too. You know, we all have a capacity for darkness. I don't think anyone, unless you have these, you know, hearts of light, like say Ventus or Kairi. But I think so long as you're not classified as like a being of pure light, everyone has a capacity for darkness. And that capacity to me is like directly correlated with how much maybe suffering you've dealt with. To a degree.
Someone said Roxas did say that Sora accepting the hurt of others and saving them would only drag him down into darkness.
Yeah, that was in Coded. People sleep on Coded, man. I'm going to do a whole Coded podcast. I'm ready for it to last like 4 hours, breaking down like every scene. Because like, look, it's not the best Kingdom Hearts game, but it's a good one. And I think it's one of the games that make Kingdom Hearts 3 a lot better. I think knowing the story of Coded and what goes on in Coded makes Kingdom Hearts 3 a lot better. In the way that like knowing Chain of Memories makes Kingdom Hearts 2 a lot better. You know, I feel like what Days and Chain of Memories are to Kingdom Hearts 2 is what Coded and Dream Drop Distance are to Kingdom Hearts 3. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's a great comparison.
The one about Coded. Yeah, it's going to be the one about Coded. DJ Ghoul says, I know Riku has conquered his darkness, but this could be the price he chose to pay in order to save Sora. Maybe after Riku dies, for example, his darkness is turned into dark side. Yes, but I feel like that almost happens a little too soon. I don't think we're going to go bang, bang, game starts, and Riku's already darkness. I think if anything, that's a belly of the whale moment. That's like a midpoint, kind of like the way Aqua's was in some senses. M.A. is upon us.
I arrive.
The themes of Recoded pour into the following games. Big time. Big time. And it helps you understand why especially Roxas needed to come back. Like, that's a big part of Coded. It's like, it's not just whether you can bring Roxas back, it's whether you should. And I think Coded sort of, you know, Nomura taught, like, anyway, that's me going too far into it. This is not the Coded pod. The Coded episode has not commenced yet. So we'll save it. We will save it.
Oh my God.
But yeah, dude, I mean, look, as far as like Riku's future goes, what do you think about gameplay wise? Like, you know, we talked a lot about his story, where that can go. Where do you think his gameplay goes from here? In chat, feel free to throw in your opinions on that too. Where do you think Riku's gameplay goes from here?
The thing is, it's like, I don't think it's going to be anything like as crazy as Dream Drop Distance, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved playing him just for a little bit in Kingdom Hearts 3. I think we could maybe, like, let's just say, like, the whole Reapers game thing is true. Like, what if we play as Riku near the end of the game? Like, we're playing the secret ending or something like that. Kind of like, you know, how you played as Aqua, like, when she was stuck in the realm of darkness going through it. Like, I feel like that would be kind of a cool spin. I miss Sora. I kind of want to just play as him, you know? But I think it'd be cool if they incorporated some gameplay with, like, the ending or whatever Riku's part really is.
Yeah, you know, I'm seeing in the chat, Land said, more like Dream Drop Distance, less like KH3. I would agree, but I wouldn't want it to be 50-50. I want it like 70-30. And we actually talked about in the pre-roll. You know what my dream approach is for Kingdom Hearts 4? Here's my dream approach. The prologue, you play as Kairi. Prologue is a training arc between Kairi and Aqua, right? Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the prologue, a sense of urgency is created within Kairi where she's got to get to Quadrata. They receive some kind of signal that's like, she's got to get there. Then you play in Quadratum. as Sora and Riku. That covers up the bulk of the game. But then once the third act, once like the end of the game commences, think Keyblade Graveyard in Kingdom Hearts 3, that's when Kairi gets to Quadratum and the three of them reunite. And you, while you predominantly play as Sora, you kind of start to cycle between the three and the end game. You know what I mean? So it's like,
that would be great.
You play like 70% of the game as Sora, 15% Kairi, 15% Riku. You could play with those numbers. You can go 60 Sora, 20-20 Kairi, Riku. I would just like to see something like that because, dude, the movesets for Riku and Kairi in Kingdom Hearts 3 are really good. And those are just basic movesets. I don't know. That's what I want to see, man. That's what I want to see.
No, that's perfect.
Because Kingdom Hearts 3 played with this a little bit, right? Like, you had your Riku gameplay segments. You had your Aqua gameplay segments. You know, you had some of that spaced out. I want more of that. Kingdom Hearts 3 was like 90-10. I want 70-30, 60-40. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, because I really don't want anything like Dream Drop Distance, like where we play that much as Riku. But yeah, it's like if you're gonna make Riku playable like that, you need to give Kairi some love too. And it's like you're just gonna piss more people off if you don't with Kairi. But yeah, that'd be perfect.
Well, I mean, again, and it's something I say a lot. By the way, guys, we have a hard stop in about 9 to 10 minutes. So everyone in the chat, if you're trying to get something through, I'll try to read as many as I can. Feel free to punch it through. But getting into that, it's like, dude, I don't think they would have built out those movesets if they weren't planning to use them more than a couple of times.
Exactly.
Like, it takes a lot of manpower to make that moveset that they made for Kairi. I don't think they made that moveset for one fight. I think they've got plans. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Kairi wouldn't be as powerful since she was asleep for a year. She doesn't need to be as powerful. You know what's funny? But Charlotte, for those who don't know, my wife just finished playing through Remind, and she was like, you know, I really liked that they made Kairi significantly weaker than Sora in that fight. Of course, that's dependent on how much you've leveled up Sora, but she was able to deduce, like, that fight would be a lot easier playing as Sora than playing as Kairi. So I wouldn't mind if there was like a difficulty curve where playing as Kairi made the game a little bit harder, but now requires the player to use a little more technique. Like, imagine if playing as Kairi, it's like, sorry, you gotta block. Sorry,
right.
I know we all love to dodge roll as much as we do and spam X, but when you play as Kairi, you have to block. Because maybe with her, the fundamentals are just a little more necessary because she's not as experienced as Riku or Sora. Now, like Lan said in the chat, he thinks Riku's a little sluggish in Kingdom Hearts 3. See, that's where I'm like, if you're going to make a difficulty curve, I feel like playing as Riku should feel easy, playing as Sora should feel balanced, and playing as Kairi should feel a little bit more difficult. Now, again, it doesn't need to be that severe because what Kairi has going for her that Riku and Sora don't is that Kairi's getting hands-on training with a Keyblade Master. Nobody else has that advantage in the series right now.
True.
Nobody else. Maybe Ventus with Terra, if that's what's going on. But nobody else. Sora and Riku, they were mentored by Yen Sid, but Yen Sid never got his fucking ass off that chair, man. You know,
Except for one time
when we needed him.
One time.
And he peculiarly, he suspiciously showed up after Sora changed fate. Where were you the first time, asshole? You had to let everybody die and get traumatized. Then you decide to help anyway. I would just kind of like to see those sort of gameplay functions when you play as those three characters. Because I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But again, getting back to Kairi, her getting the hands-on training with Aqua, it creates not a good method to fast-track her power level to be closer to Sora and Riku. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Definitely.
And again, she can warp strike, man. That's no joke. Shadowy Fandom says, Oswald for Kingdom Hearts 4. Yeah, baby. Wildcat Diana says, Riku feels heavy. Yeah, if they lighten him up a little bit, even if his dodge roll just went further than it does, that could help to make him feel fast. What if Sora and Yozora are parallels of each other? They are. I think they most certainly are.
Yeah, I think the whole mirror on mirror effect is there's something going on there for everyone.
Definitely.
I feel like.
Definitely. You know.
Oswald, I want to see what they do with Winnie the Pooh, you know, because he's, you know, he's copyright free now, basically.
That's actually so
blood
funny.
And honey in Quadrado.
That is so funny to think about. The fact that, like, Winnie the Pooh is public domain now. So anything they want to do with Winnie the Pooh, they don't have to ask Disney.
Oh,
that's pretty funny.
Pooh, put it down.
Freaking great, man. DJ Ghoul says, gosh. More darkness and light combos for Riku. Some more OP darkness movement, warping, teleporting, etc. Yeah, that's kind of what we're getting on the lines with. Like, make him a little OP. Make playing as Riku feel a little OP, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But what was that? What was the title of that article you quote tweeted?
I don't want to get into it. I'm happy to throw beef on Twitter. I'm happy to throw beef on Twitter. I don't even want to get into that freaking article that was posted today. I swear, by the way, for those who are in the know, the title topic, completely coincidental. Completely coincidental to that, by the way.
Yeah. That's so crazy.
Oh, God. Sora goes to the wrong poo world. Yeah, like, this isn't the poo I know.
Where's Christopher?
Don't watch Blood and Honey.
He's Batman now.
Please don't.
He just turned Winnie the Pooh into Batman. Where's
Christopher?
You never give it to an ordinary citizen. Anyway,
where's the honey?
They could do something similar with the gameplay to Sora, Riku, and Kairi as they did with Ven, Terra, and Aqua. Yeah, making one like balance, speed, heavy, strong, range, magic. Yeah, I like that.
Mm.
God said, 100 acre what? Oh, Baba, the truth is what you see with your eyes.
Oh, dear, Sora, your body is...
What article? Context? Why did I even...
Twitter.com.
Look, I'm not going to say who. Somebody wrote an article that it's time to bench Riku in Kingdom Hearts 4. And look, you're allowed to have whatever opinion you want, right? But to think Riku's going to get benched is to just ignore everything that's happened post Kingdom Hearts 3. And we're not about doing that here. We are not about doing that here.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
Let's see. Maybe Yozora took a Mark of Mastery test just like Sora, hence why he was asleep and went through the trials. Ooh.
Wow.
That's
interesting.
I kind of really like that.
Mm-hmm.
That could be cool.
Yeah. It's just so hard to say with like just the one trailer we've gotten.
Which is more of a teaser than a trailer. You know,
more
what
of
I
mean? A teaser than a trailer. That's very true. When's the Tokyo Game Show? That's coming up, right?
That is in 2 weeks. What do you think? You think we see something?
I think we will. I don't know like if it's gonna be a whole lot. Like I hope we get something about Missing Link. Cause, you know, like that's the first to come out before Kingdom Hearts 4, obviously. But I think we'll get something at the Tokyo Game Show. I feel like if it's anywhere, it's gonna be there.
I'm gonna, on the contrary, just to keep everyone's expectations in check, I'm gonna say we're not gonna get something. I think it's gonna be very Rebirth and Ever Crisis based. Cause like they just dropped Ever Crisis, so I'm not sure they're gonna wanna hype up another mobile game. But we'll see.
Just to keep expectations in check,
I'm going to say I think it's going to be all FF7 at Tokyo Game Show. But who knows? It's very possible. It's very possible.
That's actually a really great point. It's like Ever Crisis just came out. So maybe that's why it's kind of been on the DL and stuff too. Yeah.
By the way, we're at 6:30. Do you need to wrap up?
I got 5 minutes.
You got 5 minutes? All right. Well, we'll milk those 5 minutes. All right, we'll make those 5 minutes.
Amazing.
Let's see. Andy says, I hope we never see Missing Link news and they just shadow drop it. I kind of would much prefer they do something like that. Like, I really like that the Kingdom Hearts 4 and Missing Link trailers happened on like a Kingdom Hearts special event. You know?
Yeah.
I kind of like that method of dropping news.
Oh, bro, what was that? It was a video of, it was like for the Missing Link trailer, and they showed footage of like Riku and Xehanort a lot together. Do you remember I showed you that?
Yeah.
I sent it to you on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what exactly that was, because I feel like that's not a coincidence that they put them together like that.
No, definitely not.
You know, there's some, there, I think there's some dissent there for sure.
DJ Ghoul says, Tree, are you going to reconnect?
As of today, I am actually going to reconnect.
I am actually.
No, I'll be at Reconnect. I had a lot of homies help out with a fundraiser type thing. So I just found out today that I'm going to be going. So
there we go.
I'm
super excited. That's a big win.
Yeah, it's a big W. Win. Are you going? Are you going?
Oh, I'm going. I'll be there. Okay. I'll be there.
You'll be there? Oh, okay, good.
I'll be there.
Good. Who else in chat is going? DJ Gual, you're going there? You going?
Wildcat Diana says, Riku versus Uzora, who wins? I'm going Uzora.
Oh, yeah, definitely. 100%.
Yeah, I'm going Uzora. Just the Waffle says, by the way, Landy Lodge, there's this rumor about Kingdom Hearts Missing Link has been canceled. Weird, isn't it? I don't buy into any of that. I don't think it's come from anywhere reliable. I don't think Missing Link gets canceled. I think if anything, they rework it. But I don't think it would get outright canceled. Guy says he's going to try and make it this year. That's amazing.
Oh, good.
Good. You should try.
I know he was on the fence. Yeah,
he's on the fence about going. It'd be nice if he can make it. It'd be really nice if he can make it.
That's funny.
Okay. Enrique says, I think all of the lights and darknesses are going to be all Keyblade Masters. But by the end of it, I'm in the boat. I'd prefer Kairi become a Keyblade Master before Sora.
Really? Because
I don't think being a master is a question of skill or power level. I think it's a question of stability. You know?
I think Sora's going to skip Masters and just get right to King. Yeah, I think he's skipping the Masters, you know?
DJ Ghoul says he won't be going, but will definitely be watching. Yes. Good to know, everybody. Shout out to KH Guides. Make sure you're following him. You'll be able to watch the whole event live. You'll be able to tune in. If you can't make it to the Lone Star State, you'll still be able to tune in. Awesome. There we go, baby. They put Sigurd in Kingdom Hearts 4. Good luck canceling Missing Link. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Sigurd's going to be huge. Sigurd is going to be huge.
Mm-hmm. I don't think Sora should ever become a master.
Aralita98, thank you for the follow. I appreciate that.
Do you think we're going to get anything about Riku and Missing Link?
No, not in Missing Link. If anything, we might learn of his lineage, but I don't think we get anything too much to chew on. You know what I'm saying?
Right, for sure.
By the way, if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you hit that like button before we go. Gotta please the almighty algorithm. Speaking of pleasing the almighty algorithm, Katie Wayfinder has rated us with a party of 18. That is insane. Katie, what's going on? Let's get a shout out for Katie Wayfinder in the chat. Let's get a shout out. I'm glad she crashed us for a Riku episode. Isn't that so fitting?
That's amazing.
I think we eventually need to get a Katie Wayfinder Riku episode in the lodge.
We do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But Katie, and thank Valkyrie you so
needs,
much.
Valkyrie needs to be there too, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to drop this in the YouTube chat as well. Everybody, please make sure that you are following my friend Katie Wayfinder on Twitch. She did the Landy Lodge podcast last year at KH20. She will be there for Reconnect. So make sure you're following her. Thank you so much for that raid. Katie and Tria, is your time up? Has the clock run out on our time here?
I got 30 seconds.
You got 30 seconds.
Okay,
so we're actually going to be wrapping it up there. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. This was another awesome episode of the Landy Lodge. Love just kind of talking about Riku's future. We are going to do the one about Riku that will be more fleshed out, kind of go over his arc and everything from Darkseeker Saga and when we have a little bit more to chew on. But thank you, everybody, for tuning in. If you're hanging out with us on Twitch, please join us for the raid. We are going to raid. Let me see everybody who's on. We're going to be raiding. We're going to raid Cynic, who's playing some Super Smash Brothers right now.
Let's go.
We're going into Amazing. Cynic. But again, yo, thank you everybody for hanging out. We're going to do another podcast next week on Ever Crisis and another Kingdom Hearts episode before Reconnect. So we got some more in the pipeline. I'm working on a big Aqua video. Stay tuned for that. We are doing a big Aqua video. But again, thank you so much for hanging out, everybody. This was another awesome episode. I love all of you. Treehouse, thanks for dropping into the lodge, dude. You're always welcome.
Bro, no problem, man.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You're the best. Thanks for having me, bro.
Dude, you're welcome anytime. We will see you all on the next one. Peace.